You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. I read Louise M.A. Alcott when I was a kid. I don't remember them that well, but I remember reading them and liking them and maybe even read them more than once. But I can't remember a thing, which is why I'm glad Jen is here on this review, because she has literally a tattoo of Louise May Alcott that covers her entire body, only it's like 4 inches taller than her.
Look, I thought that we were doing period-appropriate dress. I brought the bonnet and the hoop skirt. Like, I'm sorry you didn't come prepared. Like, didn't do the reading. I'm sorry.
I came prepared. I brought hankies.
At least you tried.
I did.
I'll give you that.
That's something. We're all going to be so nice on this review because that's how everyone is in Little Women. They're just so goddamn nice. Everyone is so goddamn nice. I'm like, no way is that nice. I feel like back then they were just like throwing their piss out into the street and like yelling at fishmongers or something. I don't know. Am I off here?
What?
What? You didn't get there. They're so nice. It just felt unrealistically nice.
No, the throwing in the street and the fishmongering.
Well, yeah, just period of time. I'm like...
It's the 1860s. It's not...
It's still...
It's not like the 1400s.
I mean, there was no...
There are streets and cobbles.
There was no cable. There was no internet. I mean, what did they do besides bitching at each other?
Write a lot and put on plays in your attic. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
Well, yeah. Fair. But in this particular one, the lady in question, who is the Louise May Alcott... avatar, if you will, and I don't remember the degree to which she was played as that in the book, and here it's extremely overt in this new version of it by Greta Gerwig, but Saoirse Ronan is Jo March of the March Sisters. Mm-hmm. But before we go too deep, I want to talk about who else is here to review this as well. Jen Larson, of course, is here. She's already given me the look like, I am just going to school your ass on this.
Oh, no, I'm just going to let you talk the whole time and just chuckle quietly.
No,
in the background.
No, that's not why you're here. You're here to correct me.
But I'm subtle and understated and don't have enough opinions about things, so I brought my roommate Drew, who is... one of the best, honest representations of how shitty or great a film is.
Okay.
So be prepared.
Fair.
I'm also just Jen's ride.
You know?
Or alternately, Uber.
I come with entourage.
And then Sarah Jane is here.
I am here. Hello.
Did you also grow up reading these books?
I did not.
No?
No.
What kind of literature around your formative
years? I was more like Judy Blume forever.
Judy Blume.
You know, kind of stuff in junior high.
Yeah.
That
was, I think, my first literary porn was for Judy Blume's Forever. Going like, hey, this isn't about Margaret asking about God. This is about a teenage girl fingering herself.
Exactly.
I was not... my mom did not know. She's like, oh, Judy Blume, the kids loved you. I'm like 10.
That's great.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. This is not an adaptation of that
film. I just
film.
Skipped right to my mom's historical romance novels. Like, just skipped right over that era and went right for the deep end.
Well, the story here, it's like you said, it's 1860s New England. It's the very end, the aftermath of the American Civil War. The girls in question, Emma Watson is Meg. Florence Pugh is Amy. Eliza Scanlon is Beth. Laura Dern is their mom, who literally tells people she doesn't even know to call her mother, which is weird.
Yeah.
But they're all wondering, how's Dad doing? The who's almost the third man. When Dad finally shows up in the third act, and it's Bob Odenkirk, suddenly I can't have been the only one who thought, is this a Mr. Show sketch?
The entire theater had like a giggle.
Yeah, because it was just so, I don't think I've ever seen him play a period piece that wasn't a Mr. Show sketch. So
right.
I was like, that was odd.
Yeah.
Going out for a walk today.
But when we see the family in two different time periods, which is not the way this book was written.
Right.
This decision that's been made here was to tell it from when they're very younger and then 7 years later when they're older and maybe things aren't going quite as great. But they live comfortably, but not rich. I mean, partially because Dad's off the Civil War. They've got so many daughters and And mom is, quite frankly, like just the sweetest, most kindest person in the world and can't help herself from just helping anybody who needs help at all, which is honestly makes this kind of a great Christmas release movie, I guess, in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely. But
the girls we see, they have their own goals when they're young. Joe is very much our primary character here, and she is kind of the one who's like, who if it was today, she'd be wearing the t-shirt, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle, right? I mean, she is like, I want to write. That's what I want to do. Emma Watson, Meg, she's the one who's kind of like, I believe in love and I want to fall in love and I want to have a family. Florence Pugh is Amy, who is the second youngest and is definitely sort of the one who's got that middle child syndrome. Yep. She's just mad and she wants all the attention and she feels like she's constantly competing with her sister or Joe. And then the youngest one, Beth, has the least amount of stuff to do. Her character is basically like, I'm adorable and I like the piano.
Pretty much.
And then you almost know immediately what purpose she serves in the bigger picture of things. But these two stories we see later on, like Joe is in New York City and she's trying to get by to make money in her writing and kind of scrambling while also living in a boarding house and paying her rent there, presumably by taking care of the boarding house matron's children, teaching them. Meg is married but poor, with multiple children. Amy is living in Paris and painting along with her hysterical aunt, who's kind of curmudgeonly, but in the best possible way, played by
Meryl Streep.
Very important. There's almost certainly a Best Supporting Actress nomination there just because it's Meryl Streep, right? Yeah. I mean, she's great.
She can sleep through half the movie and still steal the screen.
Yes. And Beth is still living at home, but is kind of ill. The other character we haven't talked about that's super important here is Timothy Chalamet. Is that how you say his name? Chalamet?
I would assume Chalamet.
He's French, but you'd never guess it watching this movie. He's one of those guys who just has that American accent down. Like, for me, like, there's very few actors who are like, I would never for a second imagine that you were actually American. Like, Benedict Cumberbatch. You're like, yeah, we can tell you're
that was actually something I was amazed by, because, like, your three biggest leads, you have Saoirse Ronan, who is Irish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have Emma Watson, who is English.
Yep.
And then you have
I think so Florence Pugh is British too, I think.
And so, yeah, and they're all playing New England. Now, granted, yeah, they're playing an older New England, so it's not, sure, you're not expecting a modern day American accent. But they all, you know, executed very well to have the kind of a very similar dialect.
Yeah.
It's true. Then their next door neighbors are very rich and they have a strong relationship with them. Chris Cooper being the dad there, Timothy Chalamet being the son, who is kind of the wild child. He's like, can't decide what he wants to do. I mean, his family's super rich, so he's like the fun one to be around, but everyone's kind of starting to wonder what's all this going to lead to. And the one who is kind of the mystery, which one of the sisters will he end up being with? Because it's damn sure going to be one of them. That's very clear early on. But he's in love with Joe, and Meg's in love with him, and, you know, Amy is in love with him. And so it goes with their struggles across time as the two stories gradually congeal into one final...
It's so
fatalistic
weird
point.
Hearing you lay it out like that, because I'm like, oh god, no spoilers! But the way that this movie was structured, they're not, because they don't tell the story linearly, which is the biggest grouse that I have about this project. It's like, you start at the beginning, you work towards the end, and that's the story, but they mix it up so much in the telling of it that it was jarring for me. And then not, because as Drew was pointing out when we were talking about it afterwards, there's the way that they do the lighting is very organic to the way it should have been done, but it doesn't help you establish which time period you're in certain spots in the story. So I'm a little bothered by it. I'm a little triggered by it. But
it took me a while to get used to it.
And yeah, that was actually my solution. I was like, you know, there were plenty of times when I couldn't tell if we were looking at a memory, or we were looking at present day, or if it was a dream, or what, you know, what phase. And I was saying, like, my suggestion would have been to maybe have like a different tone of colors for those different, you know, phases of the movie. However, I think that because they were going for this very organic lighting, where it was like, if it's sunny, if they're outside, it's sunny, it's bright. If they're inside, it's got more of a diffuse light, or it's only candlelight, or things like that. And so I think they definitely went harder toward like classic authenticity rather than trying to make a different stylistic choice.
But they should have found a way, because it's a good hour into this film before I was starting to become pretty clear relatively quickly into each switch what time period actually was. There were plenty of times it was going on for a minute and a half before I was like, oh, wait, this is the other time period.
There were a couple times when I was like, wait, what?
And I felt like as a director, if you make this decision, you have to be hyper aware of the fact that your audience is going to need to know this. Yes. I mean, unless your point is for them to be confused, but
right. This isn't one of those stories. It isn't one of those stories. There's no reason this story has to be told this way. So I feel like that it really detracts away from the enjoyment and understanding of what's happening in the moment. The trying to figure out, wait, are we here or are we here? Are we 7 years before? Or are we in the present? Where are we at? And then it takes you 2 minutes into a scene to figure out where you're at, and then you can get back into it. So it kind of ruins the immersion of the moment with Cody Fingers.
Yeah,
I think there were two moments that really stood out to me as moments in the movie where maybe this style choice was particularly like the choice was made to do this, which was we're both at the end, so I don't know how spoiler you're trying to be with a 100-year-old book.
Let's not.
But
I mean, I've read it. Don't remember it. I'm glad I didn't remember it.
Right. You know? So. But there's one just particular dream sequence toward the end where I think that little bit of element of confusion between jumping back and forth really changes how you see that scene. But also at the very end where it's very much hanging a lantern on the, this is why this ended this way.
Right. No, it wants to, it wants to kind of have its cake and eat it too, but I think I like that decision to like make it feel a little bit more modern in the way you're telling the story that way. Cause I like that element of a lot at the end where they're like, okay, so we know this is how the book actually ends, but by today's standards, with everything you've seen so far, that feels like a cop out. So here's the other ending. You can pick which one you like better, which I kind of enjoyed. As well as there's a point when the two stories are very balanced with one of the girls being very sick. And I liked the way that was executed quite a bit. But overall, it's not that I have a problem with her decision to do it that way. I have a problem with her execution of doing it that way. I did think, though, on the whole, these actresses were all just delightful in this movie.
Absolutely.
There was kind of a weird Robert Altman-esque quality to a lot of the scenes, especially when they were all together, because everybody is super naturalistic. They're just talking over each other, and the camera's moving around them as they're just running through the house, just being a complete and utter handful. And it's very entertaining. It's very, like, filled with light and kind of joy. And even when they're not getting along, which is rarely, it still uses those same qualities in order to make it feel just so utterly real, which you don't expect from material from a book this old.
I found that to be one of the most charming points of the movie. The book itself has this great way of capturing the moment and the energy of this family. It's the story of these women and how they move through their lives that makes that book so charming and that keeps it relevant for generations. And this film did a really great job of capturing that, like just the candor of those moments, whether they were happy or sad, the things they were going through. The life of the piece was captured really well. I mean, I caught myself crying at least 4 or 5 different times in the movie. It did a really great job of being evocative in a way that was understated and elegant. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, completely agree. It just has a sweetness to it that we don't often see. Like, I mean, we just got to see the Mr. Rogers movie recently, and that had that. And the whole audience was just like, they just don't make films like this that are actually good films anymore. And Little Women to some degree feels like that same sort of thing. It's like this movie that is just about human warmth and compassion and like, and all these people feel like real people. Mm-hmm. And it's a compelling story as straightforward as it is. And even, like, Timothée Chalamet sounds like, when I'm describing him, like, nothing but trouble, is just kind of adorable here.
He's the fun and the lightness in a situation and a time period that is mainly depicted as being very dark and very grounded. I mean, there was so much going on, but this story isn't about the war and that. It's about the people that are affected by it and how to move forward. And they did a really good job of capturing that, I think.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, calling out specifically, I think the heavy hitters here are Saoirse Ronan, Florence Pugh, and Timothée Chalamet by far, as for the actors who are given the most to do, who give the most, who all three of those, I would say, well, they all technically would count as the lead actors in, for their performances in this movie, whereas everyone else would count as a supporting. But there's some, across the board, great. Laura Dern gives one of the best performances I've seen in a long time. She's having a great year. She was really good in... Marriage Story, the new Noah Baumbach film as well, and a supporting role in that. But yeah, everybody is good in here. I don't know. Outside of what we've said, I didn't really have any problems with it. I found myself just kind of enchanted by it in almost a sort of a more American but vaguely Dickensian sort of fashion.
Absolutely. It makes me really happy that they chose to tell this story, because it's one of my favorite stories from growing up. And it, you know, we get... a lot of action, a lot of gritty stories. We don't get a lot of simple, wholesome character pieces. And stories like this one, stories like A Little House on the Prairie or like Anne of Green Gables, are these moments that are very empowering for girls and kids and embrace the element of creativity and just living in the moment of being a child and enjoying it. And stories like that will never lose their importance in my mind. They will always be stories that you can tell your kids and always be something that can help develop those relationships. And I just think they really knocked it out of the park in that element.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay. And one thing that I was actually really impressed by, which I think is a trap that a lot of more period pieces fall into, is pacing, which I never really felt like there was any kind of significant lulls or any of these like long, like, scene setups or anything that really kind of slows down the pacing. The one I think about that has done it recently was like The Favorite, mm-hmm. where you have these times where it's kind of establishing almost too much. And I think that this had a really good pace throughout. So it's a 2-hour long movie, but which is fairly short, I think, for most you know movies that are coming out today. And so it kind of just, You sit down, you watch a movie, you get up, and you're done, and you don't ever feel like that urge to like check your phone and see, you know, that what time it might be or if you've gotten any messages or anything like that.
Well, I mean, the only reason I thought about checking my phone at all was just to look at and read the synopsis of the original book, because you kept going, I wonder if that was in there. You know, Jen's like, it wasn't in there, shut up.
No, they did a really good job. I couldn't think of anything that happened in the film, other than the way they set up a couple scenes. But everything that happened in the film, I remembered from the book. There wasn't a single moment of, that doesn't belong here, what'd you do that for?
Yeah, there were no spaceships or super people with superpowers.
It would have been fun if they had
or vampires. So it sucked.
Little Women and vampires. Ready, go.
Honestly, kind of surprised. Remember, there was that whole thing with like Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, and what was that? Sensibility and Sea Monsters. I'm like, felt like this was next in line, right? I don't know what it would have been.
I ship it. All right, we'll go write it.
Little Iron Women.
Yeah, little wolf women.
I like that.
There you go.
I'm into it.
Well, let's go to final thoughts, Jen. Get us started.
Like I said, the disjointed back and forth, I'd enjoy this much more if they had told it linearly. I felt that jump back and forth kept you from ever really developing with the characters. There's no build, there's no through line of it that way. They told it in a way that was kind of just disjointed and very like chapters rather than something linear, and I would have enjoyed that much more. That is the only negative thing I have to say about the entire movie. The cinematography was beautiful. I love pastoral movies of the time period, and getting to see the walks through the park and the frozen lake and all of those scenes just really takes me back to when I was reading those books, and I really enjoyed that. The characters were wonderful. The acting was just exquisite. I enjoyed everything about this movie except for the back and forth. I will give this movie...
What's it going to be, Jan?
8.5 top hats and great coats.
What about you, Sarah Jane?
I did like it. I agree with Jen. I didn't like the back and forth. It would have been better if it had just been straight through. My favorite part of the movie was when Timothy Chalamet appeared for the first time, and about 75% of the audience just had a noise. I mean,
he is kind of dreamy.
Yeah, everybody back here was just like all over it.
Nobody gets away with that whole, he has like literally done the opposite of combing his hair in order to look the way he does. Like, gets away with it like he does. There's a scene where his hair is just everywhere. And you're like,
he can't be bothered.
That's amazing.
Right. So, yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was beautifully done. The acting was great. It was great. I liked it. I'm going to give it... I did actually feel it was a little bit long for me, so I'm going to give it 7.5 dark Timothy Chalamet tendrils out of 10.
Tendrils.
Drew, what about you?
I really appreciated all the art design and the attention to detail that they played, throughout the whole movie with, just the paintings on the walls and the type of wallpapers and all sorts of different things that just these minute attention to detail. It's definitely a movie I would watch again, which for me is kind of that like 6 to 7 threshold. It's probably not a movie I would buy to keep on my own movie collection. So I'm going to say probably 7.5 tallow candles and parchment.
Ooh. I think I'm on the side of like, it took me a little while to get into it completely because of that linear thing. But I do admit that I totally see why she was doing it in the third act and the way it was used really effectively then, what she was building towards. But it just needed to be more clear about those demarcation points from time periods. I thought that was a huge mistake, not finding some sort of method to make that clear to the audience. And it is. In fact, it makes that first act extremely confusing at points. You're just trying to sort out what the hell's going on. And there's a lot of fucking characters in this movie, so that can be kind of an issue. Like, if it was just My Dinner with Andre, no one would care. But everyone in this is so good and just absolutely charming. I mean, even the lesser players that come, like Chris Cooper is not one of the bigger players here, but he's in it enough, and he's just...
He was so good.
Just so good in it. He's just so... You just adore him.
That was why I cried. Yeah, I was all right until he was standing outside of the house and he didn't know what to do, and I was just like...
I mean, the only even vaguely unpleasant person in the movie at all is Meryl Streep, but she's unpleasant in the most wonderful way.
Yeah.
She's a Miss Havisham or something. Mm-hmm.
She's a get off my lawn.
Yes, exactly. This is really charming. I could totally see returning to this movie, and it would just make a great Christmas time movie to watch in general. Mm-hmm. This is one of those, if you are looking for something on Christmas Day to go out to with a family with multiple different ages there, I would say bring the whole family, but I think the littlest kids are going to get very confused and very sort of jumpy watching this. So maybe not the best version of it for the tiniest kids. But I think if you're like 12 or older, this will be perfect for you. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 petticoats.
Right.
A lot of goddamn petticoats. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure what exactly a petticoat is.
It keeps you from tripping all over your skirts.
Is that what that is?
There are many, many layers of skirts.
Okay. So are you...
It's out and away from your legs.
I feel like if I was a lady, I would personally be very glad that that's kind of not de rigueur anymore.
They're fun on occasion, but the necessity of them every day, yeah, not so much.
Right. You're like, eh.
And the corset, too. I can without the corset.
No. Yeah. And that would have made the awkward high school fumbling in the back seat much more difficult.
Oh, goodness.